Let's turn to Genesis 17. And buddy, it does go right along with the message today. I love when God does that. Man, I love singing in that row, y'all. Thank y'all for leading worship so I can just sit back and enjoy it and sing out. Ooh, I love that. Genesis 17, trusting the God who can. Can y'all say that with me? Ready? Trusting in the God who can. By the time we reach Genesis 17, Abram has walked with God for about 25 years. There were times, though, he acted just like us. He did not trust God completely. Do I have a witness? You ever been there? Not trusting God as we ought to? God had first promised him a son way back in Genesis 12. But years passed, and guess what, y'all? Still no child. So Abraham and Sarah took matters in their own hands. You ever done that? I don't recommend it. They took matters in their own hands, and Sarah offered Hagar, her handmaid, to Abram, and she conceived a child and had Ishmael. Now Abram is 99 years old, and from all human perspective, it seems, whoa, it's way too late to have a child with Sarah, his wife. But then in verse 1, we read, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared unto Abram. Hey, when God shows up, everything changes. That's what happened here. The Lord appeared to Abram. Now, this is about 13 years after the birth of Ishmael. God reminds Abram that they still have a covenant together. Before God talks about the promise, though, he's going to reveal his person. Look at the next phrase. He appeared to Abram and said unto him, say it with me, ready? I am the Almighty God. Before he reminds him of the promise, he's going to reveal his person. I'm the Almighty God, El Shaddai, the All-Sufficient One. The God who is able to do anything and everything. Aren't you glad we serve a God like that? If it's as if God says, Abram, you can't, but I can. And from this encounter, we can learn 4 timeless truths about trusting the God who can. Number 1, God is in control of every situation. Let's read verse 1 again. When Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Abram's discouraged. Abram feels defeated. Abram's in disbelief. My wife is never going to have a child. Satan wanted to destroy the nation of Israel before it ever really got started. And he's throwing all his powers against Abram. Satan is the accuser. He did his best to accuse Abram. You're a failure. How in the world can you be a father of a great nation? Just imagine Satan whispering in Abram's ear. You have no children of your own, except Ishmael. You think God's going to use him to make a holy nation? That's a joke. That's the kind of stuff Abram was dealing with. Hearing the accuser of the brethren whisper things like that. How in the world can God make of you a great nation? Do you know our enemy wants to destroy us from within? He is after our minds. Before you act on it, you thunk it first. That's a fancy English word, right? No, you think it first before you act. And so the devil is after our minds, our thoughts. Now, he loves whispering doubt. He loves bringing fear into our minds. Listen to this. He knows if he can defeat our thoughts, he can defeat our faith. Y'all, how many believe we're supposed to be walking by faith and not by sight? So the devil's after your mind. He wants to bring you defeat instead of, he wants to defeat your thoughts because he's ultimately after our faith. He wants us to be skeptical of God's promises. Man, boy, he pounces on, seizes every setback, every failure that we make, every problem. He brings it as an accusation to bring it to our minds. What are we supposed to do when Satan brings those things into our minds? Well, the Bible tells us what to do. We've got to capture those rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Jesus. Where you say, preacher, where'd you get that? Look at this, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Y'all remember this? Casting down. Hey, destroy those imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself, every proud obstacle, cast them down, destroy them against the knowledge of God, the things that keep people from knowing God. That's what it's saying. And bring into captivity, capture. Everybody do your hands like this. It's like you're behind prison walls, right? Capture every thought to the obedience of Christ. Teach your thoughts to obey King Jesus. That's what we got to do with our thought life. Capture them. Teach them to obey Jesus. See, it's a battle in our minds. We've got to win through the power of the Holy Spirit. How many still believe greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world? So Satan's trying his best to mess us up. But greater is he that's in us. Now, Satan is not only after our minds, but he also gives us much opposition when we're trying to do something for him. We're trying to step out by faith. We're trying to serve the Lord in the church. We're trying to do things for him. Man, I've been in the ministry a long time, and times can get really rough. Satan knows if he can defeat God's leader, he can defeat all of God's people. And Abram's about to lead a bunch of people. And so he knows if he can defeat Abram, boy, that's the downfall of the nation of Israel. So he's going to work overtime. He works overtime with me, feeding me doubt, making me fearful, bringing opposition along the way. But praise God, the Almighty reminds me that he's able to take care of anything I'm facing. How many believe that he is still in control? Even when circumstances seem impossible, God is still in complete control. God's not limited by age or by time, by human weakness, by our past mistakes. None of these could stop what God had planned for Abram. When God says, "I am Almighty," he's saying, "Hey, Abram, there is nothing too hard for me." Abram, you see the obstacles ahead. You see only the problems. But I'm bigger than any of your problems. I'm going to fulfill the promises to you despite the problems if you'll just turn them over to me. You got a problem this morning? Can we just turn them over to the Lord? Do you have stinking thinking that the devil's influenced your mind or your flesh or this world has influenced your mind? Can you bring those thoughts captivity and just teach them to obey Jesus? When life feels out of control, remember, God is never out of control. We can rest in him. God may not show us how he's going to do it. He doesn't have to. He's God. He only has to remind us, like he did with Abram, "I am Almighty God." Maybe that's what he wants to do with y'all today, with us. He wants just to remind us he's Almighty. He allows things for a reason. You're going through financial difficulties right now. You're going through a struggling marriage. We've been through so many things in the church. Are your children away from God right now? We're going through a government shutdown. Put a smile on your face. Oh, no. Another day. I think we're at day 11 or something like that. We're going to have another crazy election coming up next month. Maybe you're going through an unexpected illness. Maybe you've got the bad report from the doctor. Maybe you're just going through discouragement or disbelief or you're feeling defeated. Let me just remind you today, he's bigger than any problem that we face. He's in control of every situation. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and he can do what no other power can do. Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God have his way. Your burdens he'll carry, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have his way. Number two, God's power is our strength. Look at the next part. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. What's that mean? Can we be perfect? No. But through God's power, we can live a blameless life. We can mature. We can become more like Jesus every day. We can serve him faithfully. That's all he's asking of Abram. Hey, just serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. Then no accusation can come against you from someone else. Now, you say, boy, that's a big phrase right there. How in the world are we going to do that? God never commands without also empowering. He's not going to command you to do something without supplying the power that we need. Divine power comes before divine expectation. So humanly speaking, we're weak. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, you're weak? Because in our flesh, we are weak. Let me tell you the way Paul put it. Are you ready? Paul said Christians have the treasure of God's righteousness in earthen vessels. We're just an earthen vessel. But guess who lives inside of us? I've told you before, you got a stick of dynamite living inside of you. It's the Holy Spirit of God. So Paul says, hey, you've got the treasure of God's righteousness living inside an earthen vessel. On our own, we're just clay pots. We're capable of cracking. We're capable of breaking. That's why we got to rely on the Holy Spirit of God to give us his own power every day. God's power is our strength. If we concentrate on our weakness rather than the mighty power of God, we set a limit on what God can do through us. Did you get that? If you concentrate on your weaknesses rather than the mighty power of God, you're going to set a limit on what God can do through us. I don't have good leadership skills. I can't preach like so-and-so. And that's the things that the devil tells me. I fail so many times. You know what we're doing? We're programming ourselves for failure. We set a puny human limit on an almighty God. Let's not do that anymore. Amen? Let's not set a puny human limit on our church. No telling what God wants to do with our church. He's Almighty God. This is his church. Satan tried to tell Abram, you can't ever carry out God's plan. You're too old. Anybody ever been told that? You're too weak. You're too weary from the journey, Abram. But I'm telling you what Abram did. He stood his ground. He believed in God. He may have looked weak, but his faith was not weak at all. His God certainly wasn't weak. Amen? And he repeats in verse 2, look, and I will make, look in your Bible, I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Abram, I'm going to give you countless descendants. It's not going to be through Ishmael. It's going to be through another son, just like I promised. He was on God's side. Nobody's weak if they're on God's side. How many are on God's side? Woohoo! Wake up your neighbor now. They're not raising their hand, all right? How many are on God's side, all right? He's called us to do a work for him. Okay, so the same Almighty God who calls us to walk faithfully gives us the strength to do it. My ability to obey doesn't come from me. It comes from him. Obedience isn't about trying harder. It's trusting deeper. It's trusting deeper. The Almighty God gives us everything we need to live faithfully. Look at the screen. It's his strength in my weakness. How many can relate? It's His sufficiency in my insufficiency. It's His fullness in my emptiness. That's what it's all about. God's power is our strength. Number three, God desires our faithful obedience. Look at verse 3. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying. Abraham's immediate response was humility and surrender. Man, that's a good posture that God blesses. He didn't argue. How many of you ever argue with God? He didn't reason with God. Oh boy, I love somebody that likes to reason. We shouldn't do that with a holy God. How about delay? No, he bowed. When we bow before our authority, the Almighty God, that is real faith. Is that what you see on behalf of Abram right there? When he bows, he's being faithful. Because God expects full-hearted obedience. Someone said it like this, a faith that trusts always leads to an obedience that acts. Did you get it? A faith that trusts always leads to an obedience that acts. When God speaks, our job is not to debate, it's time to obey. God expects us to live differently than everyone else. See, we ought to react differently when God's leading us to do something. It's time to obey. Do y'all agree that our actions and thoughts should not be like the actions and thoughts of the world? We're supposed to be a peculiar people. That doesn't mean weirdo. That just means different. We have a Savior that we're serving. So let's live clean and godly lives before Him. We cannot sin against God, try to excuse ourselves by saying, well, I'm only human. Have y'all heard that one before? How about this one? This is an old one. The devil made me do it. Man, you got the power of God living inside of you. Don't make excuses for your sin. Sometimes I just got to get caught up in all the drama. No, you don't. Sometimes I just got to cuss like a sailor. I got to vent. No, you don't. Sometimes I just got to make up a lie about someone. No, you don't. Sometimes my anger just gets the best of me. Be yielded to the Spirit, and He can control you. Sometimes I just need a substance like alcohol or drugs to help me cope. No, you don't. Hey, fornication, any sexual activity outside of marriage, it's okay. No, it's not. Wake up and just determine, I'm going to live clean and godly. I want to be different from this world. Why can't we just obey His word? Amen? He's given you the power to do it. We're redeemed. We're children of God. So we need to look like it. We need to act like it. We need to walk like it. We need to talk like it. That's the way you honor the Almighty God. Obey Him at home. When nobody's looking, can I hear an amen? Obey Him at the job site. Obey Him at church. Man, I've seen knockout dragouts at church. You think, what in the world's going on? We're supposed to be Christians. Just obey Him. Don't run ahead of God, but don't lag behind. Just do what He tells you to do. He's leading you through His word. There's no telling what God has in store for us if we just started doing all that He wants us to do. How many have heard this before? Obedience brings blessings. Disobedience brings painful consequences. Can you remember that? Say it with me. Ready? Obedience brings blessings. Disobedience brings painful consequences. Just go ahead and determine, I want to obey Him. He desires our faithful obedience. And then number four, God honors our faith. I'll skip verse 4 because verse 5, he mentions the covenant again. He's already mentioned that in verse 2. Verse 5, he mentions he's a father of many nations. Here we go. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, Hey, Abram, I'm changing your name. How many ever have changed their name? Now, you girls changed your last name, right? Okay, you ones that got married. But God's changing his name. That thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Verse 6. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed or thy descendants, after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto them, and to thy seed after thee. In other words, I will always be your God, and I'll always be the God of the descendants after you. Verse 8. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger. Hey, all the land of Canaan, where you're now a stranger, that's going to be an everlasting possession for you. And then the final phrase, say it with me, and I will be their God. Now, when Abram believed God, God just confirms his covenant. Our faith doesn't earn God's blessings, but I tell you, it sure positions us to receive his blessings. If Abraham would have told his neighbors what God had promised to do for him, they would have thought he was crazy. Of course, it does seem impossible that almost a 100-year-old man would have more sons by his 90-year-old wife. But God needs men and women. Listen, teenagers, boys and girls at Gospel Light Baptist Church who are willing to be considered crazy for his sake. The only way this world's going to learn the truth of the gospel is if people like us stick our necks out. Come on, help me out. Can you lean forward real good and just stick your neck out? We're doing exercises, okay? Nobody's joining me. I got a few, okay. There you go, men. All right. You know what? Let's just stick our necks out and believe in the promises of God. That's what Abraham did. Now, at first, he thought God's promises were laughable. God said he's going to have a baby. He's almost 100. And he didn't believe it. But over time, he went right ahead. He believed anyway. With God, all things are possible. With God, I didn't say a little bit. I said all things are possible. God honors our faith. Everybody listen, look up. Y'all remember back in September 2020? How many remember 2020? It was a wonderful year. How many remember back in September 2020, in the midst of a pandemic, this church voted to add a youth pastor to our pastoral staff? Wow, that took some faith. Can you imagine the other churches in our area when they heard about that? You guys are crazy. We can't even get people back into the building. And you want to hire a youth pastor? Hey, if God says do it, we did it. And look how God blessed. We stuck our necks out because we knew what God wanted to do. Same with Lakin Barnes. When she came to me about Embrace Grace, same with Robin Rife, when now that she's started Embrace Life. These ministries are possible because of faith. It's not them. It's not Pastor Colton. It's not me. It's because we have faith in an almighty God. He wants us to step out. He wants us to stick our necks out. He wants us to trust in him. Think about all the years that we set out this chest. Here's our chest of Joash. It's just decorated differently. This is the fall chest, okay? But in the spring, we set out the chest, and we've done it for many, many years. And on a designated day, we take up a special offering for the renovations of our building, whatever needs we have that year. God has done incredible things through this old chest. I mean, we've seen him do so much. You say, why, preacher? Because God honors our faith and our sacrifice. Let's remember that moving forward. Hey, let's trust God's timing when we don't understand his ways. Let's rejoice in God's greatness today. Let's remind ourselves he is indeed El Shaddai, the Almighty God. How many remember this scripture? 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Say it with me. Ready? Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. God's going to make it happen. He just calls us to be faithful. In review, say it with me. Ready? Number one, God is in control of every situation. Therefore, he can handle anything I'm facing. Number two, God's power is our strength. Number three, God desires our faithful obedience. Number four, God honors our faith. Everybody look up this way. There's a story of a fisherman. And a man was watching him fish. He would pull in a big fish, get his tape measure out, and measure it. Then he would throw the fish back in the water. And the guy's thinking, what in the world's he doing? Well, the man kept watching him do this. Soon the fisherman caught a much smaller fish. He measured it and dropped it in his bucket. He didn't throw it back in the water. And then he kept doing that, throwing the big fish back and keeping the smaller fish. Y'all, is that the way we're supposed to do it? How many would prefer a big fish? Okay. All right. So the man asked the fisherman why. And here's what the fisherman said. Because my frying pan is only 10 inches across. Wow, what a shame. Think about that. Is that our mindset as a church family? Are we missing out on God's blessings like that? Are we throwing back the overwhelming miracles that he wants to do in our lives, in our marriages, our home, our church, and we're only experiencing the small, believable things? How many want to experience the supernatural? Amen? God blesses a people who believe he is as great as he really is. Do we really believe he is Almighty God? When we believe that he's Almighty God and we start living like it, our faith is going to become great. And he will honor that faith as we move forward in this race. Let's bow our heads in prayer.